We got Beans here today.
Beans just sitting.
Beans is just sitting.
He's just sitting and watching you.
He wants to mix.
Beans is like, I want to be in the podcast. Meow, meow, meow.
You always are, man. You always, literally are always on the podcast. I don't know if there's an episode that goes by that you're not on this fucking show, man. I really don't. Like, you come in here every time we do this. No, and no hate. We love it. I love when you come in here. But right now, you are just staring me down, bro.
Yeah, he has not moved.
A muscle. He has not moved.
He's just sitting on the floor with you.
Yep, just staring at me. I also record the show on the floor now.
Are you telling the people? Are we?
Yeah, just not. Yeah, we're recording. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yep. Harrison sits on the floor. Ever since, well, Harrison was in a squeaky chair one day, and I yelled at him, so we started sitting on the floor, and then he swapped my chair for his chair, so now I'm in the squeaky chair.
Oh, do you want your chair back? Let's swap them real quick if it's going to be a problem.
No, it's okay. I just don't move. I just stay very still. But if you do hear it, that's what it is. I'm in the squeaky gamer chair.
Well.
Do you not like this chair? Is mine more comfortable?
No, I love that. No. The thing is, it's true laziness. Like, I moved it because that chair has too much noise going on with it when it's on camera for me to, like, do the play readings and stuff that I was doing.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to have a big, like, captain's wing thing around me. You know, it's like a serious chair. So I moved this one over, and truly, I've just been too lazy to move it back. And it is, like, 3 feet.
Every time I wear it, I mean,
every time I wear my chair,
I sit in it.
Every time I chair
on a work meeting, everyone's like, "Is that a gamer chair?" And I'm like, "You should see this room."
Yo. You can't sit on the mixer, bro.
Now Beans is sitting.
Now he's like truly being on one. He's like laying on top of the audio mixer, and he's powing me because he's mad that I moved him off the audio mixer. And
just leave him alone.
I am leaving him alone. Okay, he just can't lay on the thing.
Yeah, if he does, you just push him off.
Okie dokes.
Well, it's Indigenous People Day. People's Day.
Correct.
And we have been meaning to dive into the alarming amount of missing and murdered Indigenous women out there. So today seemed like a good day to start.
I concur.
So, first I'm going to throw out some facts. Some very alarming facts.
We got facts off the bat.
Starting with Canada. With Kate. In Canada, missing and murdered Indigenous women has been described as a Canadian national crisis and a Canadian genocide.
Correct. I've heard that as well.
Yeah. In response to repeated calls from Indigenous groups, activists, and non-governmental organizations, the government of Canada under Prime Minister
Justin Trudeau.
Good job, Harrison.
Justin Trudeau.
Established a national public inquiry.
Titled, I used to know a lot of the world leaders. I probably don't know as many because they've had elections in the last year.
Yeah, but you're pretty good at that.
And I've been pretty out of it. I haven't really been paying attention.
So it was titled The National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls. And this happened in September 2016. So according...
And just came back up again recently, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So according to the inquiry... Between the years 1980 and 2021, Indigenous women and girls represented 16% of all female homicides in Canada, while only constituting 4% of the female population in Canada.
Wow.
I know.
That's an epidemic.
Yep. From 2001 to 2015, the homicide rate for Indigenous women in Canada was almost six times as high as the homicide rate for other women.
Wow.
Yeah. In the U.S., Native American women are more than twice as likely to experience violence than any other demographic. One in three Indigenous women is sexually assaulted during her life, and 67% of these assaults are done by other races.
Those are absolutely staggering statistics.
Yep. The U.S. Department of Justice found that American Indian women face murder rates that are more than 10 times the national average. And the homicide is the third leading cause of death among 10 to 24 years of age, and the fifth leading cause of death for American Indian and Alaska Native women between 25 and 34 years of age. Absolutely.
Yeah, just like just, astounding. Yeah. I thought you had more to say. Sorry.
No, I just had to take a little breath because I don't even have the words.
I know, and it's hard to really fathom when you're hearing all these different like percentages and stuff like that. But like the point that should be taken away is that like this is a small percentage of the population that is having an exponentially higher rate of violence.
Yeah.
Violent crimes committed against them, and it's not being talked about
at all, ever.
Pretty much, like, yeah.
I don't know. We're on Twitter all the time, where you know everything gets talked about.
Missing. Yeah, there's always discourse. Yeah, the first time that like this came back up in a major way, I feel like was with the Gabby Petito story around.
So it's like on an everyday basis. You never hear anything about any missing or murdered Indigenous women online. Rarely. Unless it's a, you know, another...
Well, they just won't report on it, right? Like, it's really... What's really fucked is that, like, the media doesn't report on these things.
Yeah, I mean, you can only have discourse around, like, what's known, obviously.
Right. And obviously, I'm sure lots of these cases, as we saw in Canada, have been... I'm sure there's atrocities untold that we still don't know about, you know? So, because a lot of these things are still being just discovered now or have been covered up for a long time.
I read somewhere, too, that there's not a national database for, like, missing and murdered Indigenous women.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yep. That is, like, blatant, like, we don't give a fuck, you know?
Yeah.
With that said, today we're going to talk about a missing Indigenous woman, Ashley Loring Heavy Runner.
Okay. I feel like I've heard that name before.
Perhaps. What we know about Ashley, she was 20 years old at the time of her disappearance. So she's a tiny girl. She's only 5'2". And childhood friends said that she was extremely emotionally, spiritually, and physically strong. Ashley's mother said that she was incredibly smart, athletic, positive, and willing to help anyone who needed it. She loved horses, she loved the rain, and she was also described as feisty, and Ashley's best friend said in The Guardian, she'd stick up for people. If someone was getting bullied or if she saw something that was wrong, she would come out and tell you. And Ashley was a member of the Blackfeet Indian Reservation in a town called Browning, Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And she was enrolled in Blackfeet Community College studying environmental science.
Wow.
Now, the Blackfeet Reservation is huge. It spans more than 1.5 million acres.
Wow, that's massive.
That is huge. And it's larger than the state of Delaware.
Okay.
Yeah. It borders the Rocky Mountains to the west and Canada to the north. So, yeah, just huge. So it's June 2017, and Ashley's sister, Kimberly, knew something was kind of off immediately. She returned from a trip to Morocco where she was visiting her fiancé, and, like, her and Ashley were super close. Ashley was supposed to move into Kimberly's apartment in Missoula when she returned.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kimberly gets back. She's trying to text Ashley and call her, but she just can't get a hold of her. So her family at first thought that, like, she could have gone to visit a family friend or she lost her phone, because, like, that has happened before. But then Ashley's father was hospitalized for liver failure, and Ashley was still not returning anybody's calls, or, like, you know, she didn't go and show up to the hospital. So they were like, okay, something is
definitely
very
weird.
Wrong.
Yeah.
And they were a very close-knit family, so, like, that just wouldn't have ever happened. So Kimberly tried to reach out to Ashley's friends on social media to see if, like, anyone had seen her. And everyone says that they hadn't been in contact with her since June 5th. So on that night, Ashley was messaging, like, various friends on Facebook asking for a ride into town from her family's ranch. And she got a ride, and before she left, she grabbed some clothes and packed them into a blue string backpack and said goodbye to her grandmother. And then later that night, someone from the party actually posted a short video of the party, and you can see Ashley sitting on the couch, and she's, like, surrounded by people drinking and talking. And on June 5th, that same night, was also the last time Kimberly heard from Ashley. She received a text that night from Ashley, and it says, "Send me some money, can you?" And Kimberly responds, "I wish I can, sis, but I'm in Africa. Are you okay?" And Ashley says, "Always." And that was it. And after not hearing from Ashley and her father's hospitalization, Kimberly went to Blackfeet law enforcement and tribal law enforcement for help. And they launched a 3-day search. But after that, they stopped all their search efforts and just became extremely unhelpful as time went on. Kimberly said that nobody took it seriously. They said she's of age, she can leave when she wants to. And this is like a common response from law enforcement when it comes to missing and murdered Indigenous women. They did not handle Ashley's case the way they should have, and they did not take it seriously. Apparently, too, the reservation was usually like flooded with gossip, but like after Ashley disappeared, everything had gone quiet.
Hmm.
It took the bureau. How do you say that word?
What?
Bureau.
Bureau.
Bureau. I can never say it.
Yeah, bureau.
It took the bureau.
You're trying to say like desk in French, which is bureau.
I have a hard time with R's regularly.
Well, and you're also like doing like kind of a French sound with it too. Like bureau is not.
Bureau.
Like we don't have a lot of that R sounds in English.
So it took the Bureau of Indian Affairs or
Bureau. Bureau. You're emphasizing the.
I can't do ours. I can't say regularly. I can't say burglar. I just can't do
Bureau. What is it? Do it again.
Bureau.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You got it perfectly. Bureau. Just throw it off.
It took the Bureau.
Yeah, you're emphasizing the wrong syllable. That's what I'm saying. It's not that the R is giving you trouble. It's your you just did it perfectly.
Bureau.
Bureau.
Beer.
No, point that end up.
Bureau.
You're going Bureau.
Bureau.
Bureau. Bureau.
Do it.
It's okay. Just drill straight through the word.
It took the Bureau.
Leave all this in.
I can't do it.
All right. It took the... Okay, so now do it and then stop when you're going to say Bureau and I'll do it.
Okay. It took the...
Bureau.
...of Indian Affairs or BIA almost 2 months before getting seriously involved in this case. So 2 weeks go by. It's late June. The family gets their first tip.
Uh-huh.
Someone had seen a woman running from a vehicle on U.S. Highway 89 on the reservation. That area is known to be, like, surrounded by swamp and really dense forest. So another 3-day search was conducted in that area by tribal police and the BIA, but they came up empty. But then volunteers found, in some kind of, like, dump, a gray sweater. And it was thought to belong to Ashley because she packed that bag of clothes. So, like, you'll see there's more clothes that kind of come up.
Uh-huh.
So they gave the sweater to the BIA to test. However, authorities misplaced it before actually able to do any testing. I have different reports here. Like, one source said that they just never did any testing and it just sat in a box for months. And one said it was misplaced. But, I mean, either way. Botched. A quote from Ashley's sister. She said, "It was ridiculous. One of the tribal officers actually apologized to me. He said he was sorry about my sister and that he was working overtime on the case, but that nobody was taking it seriously. People in Browning know exactly what happened to my sister and where she's at, but they're not speaking up because law enforcement ruined her case." And Kimberly also said that their family kept giving police evidence and things that they found, and they would just get nothing back.
Huh.
No follow-ups, nothing. So Kimberly took matters into her own hands. She conducted her own searches.
Wow, that's actually amazing.
Listen to what this girl did. It is incredible. She was doing her own searches on the reservation, basically became like a detective for the case. She would take phone calls, read messages, follow up on leads. She would search the dense, mountainous areas of the reservation herself. She would dig up fresh mounds of dirt herself. She was analyzing bones. In one article, it said that she would chase off grizzly bears in this process. Like, it's just so
wow
fucked up.
Well, then also, like, just, like, proof of how incredible the spirit of love for your friends can be.
Sister. That's sister, her sister,
sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, sister, sorry.
But, like, she is putting herself in so much danger because, right, like, the police can't do their job. It's just yeah, the
love of family is unbelievable, you know?
So, this isn't the first time this has happened with missing Indigenous people, of course, as you can imagine, but I'm going to touch on another story. So, in October 2017, a man named Matthew Lone Bear's sister, Olivia, went missing, and authorities weren't helpful at all. So, Matthew, he set up his own headquarters on the reservation with snacks and water bottles. He mapped out the surrounding areas himself using land surveys. He enlisted locals to man search parties and set up an anonymous tip line and a fundraising page all by himself.
Wow.
Just so devastating. So then a donor actually bought Matthew Lone Bear a drone, which is incredible. He said it changed the way he went about this search entirely, like for the better. It was just easier, of course.
Yeah.
And then this is a quote from him in The Guardian. He said this about his sister's case. I spent a lot of time looking at these missing persons cases, and there are so many times where law enforcement really doesn't investigate.
Yep.
They spend more time trying to make excuses why not to search than actually just getting out there and getting it done. If you look across the United States at all the different reservations, even off-reservation, when Native people are missing, they don't get the same resources, and they don't get the same type of coverage when white people are missing.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely. Indigenous issues in this country are completely, yeah, for the most part, pushed to the side and ignored.
Oh, so Matthew's sister Olivia's body was eventually found submerged in the Chevy Silverado she went missing in at the bottom of a lake. And it was volunteers who found her, not authorities. So since Matthew Lone Bear went through this and had this drone and like this experience and the resources, he wanted to help the Loring family. So for 3 days in late September, he flew the drone over Route 89 and other search area, like other areas, looking into where all like the tips and leads were coming through. So he helped Kimberly out with his drone.
That's so nice.
Isn't that nice? During
maybe my dad can help people out with his drone.
Yeah, maybe. During one of the family's own searches, they also found a tattered sweater and a pair of red-stained boots.
Oh.
The sweater was torn, and it had red stains of what seemed like blood, and the items were found on the northern edge of the reservation, not far from a house owned by a 52-year-old man named Sam McDonald.
Okay.
And this is very interesting because apparently, and according to Kimberly, around the time of Ashley's disappearance, she had really been struggling with the death of her grandfather. And she had a recent breakup with her first love, too, around the same time. So she started to, like, rebel a little, I guess you could say.
Sure.
Or just do normal 20-year-old things.
Of course, of course.
So, and Kimberly said that she started experimenting with drugs and hanging out with an older crowd. And one of the people in that older crowd included Sam McDonald.
Oh, my God.
So we come to find out that Sam McDonald was actually with Ashley on the morning of June 11th, which is crazy because everyone thought Ashley's last movements happened on June 5th. Like, that's the last time Ashley's sister heard from her. And that's the last time that party video footage, you know, was taken. So basically, he said that he had been partying with her for a few days, and the last time he saw her was, like I said, June 11th, and he said that Ashley asked him to drive her to a pull-off area in the reservation, and that someone named V-Dog would pick her up. So he said that he then fell asleep in the car. When he woke up, Ashley was nowhere to be seen. So I guess he, like, parked to drop her off and, like, fell asleep. So he looked around for her and just assumed that she had gotten picked up with V-Dog, and he just left.
Right.
So he was questioned, and his house was searched many times by law enforcement, but I guess they didn't find anything because there was no arrest ever made.
Wow.
The sweater and the shoes were sent to law enforcement for testing, but no results have ever been released. So I don't know if they just didn't do it again or if like they just are not released to the public.
Yeah, of course.
So 9 months after Ashley went missing, the FBI gets involved after various leads took investigators into nearby states and off the reservation. So I guess they were like, this is kind of bigger than, you know, what we think it is. Like, yeah. If we're getting tips from outside, like in other states.
Of course.
So V-Dog, who is also known as Paul Valenzuela, does have a known criminal record. But still, police have not made anyone, like not named anyone as a suspect. And no arrests have been made. There's pretty much nothing.
Wow.
So in 2018... Kimberly appeared before the United States Senate Committee on Indian Affairs in Washington, D.C. to speak about her experience, what she believes was the mismanagement of evidence.
Of course.
She says she witnessed from law enforcement in her sister's case. So she told Senate members, according to NBC, from the very beginning, both the Blackfeet Tribal Law Enforcement and the BIA have ignored the dire situation that Ashley is in and have allowed the investigation to be handled in a dysfunctional manner. This isn't just a reality for our family, but a reality for many murdered and missing Indigenous women's families. It has now been 4 years since Ashley's disappearance, and Ashley's family and friends have not stopped searching the vast land of the Blackfeet Reservation, searching for her. They have like a candlelight walk and vigil like every year in June. And like I said, the FBI is now handling this case, and Sandra Yee Baker, a spokesperson for the Salt Lake City FBI, said the field office is handling the case and wouldn't comment further on any details.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we stand now. And I wanted to talk about this case in particular, not only to like get justice for Ashley and her family, but to like show how terrible Indigenous women cases are handled compared to other cases. I mean, you pretty much get this story in every missing and murdered Indigenous woman, like every story you talk about, but
it also just shows how absolutely negligent any law of federal or any kind of, you know, just any kind of a institution in America, how directly, you know, bigoted they are against fucking Indigenous people. They don't give a shit. It's so fucked up. Like, people of color of any kind, but especially, you know, with the great, you know, original sin of this, like one of the great original sins of this country.
Yep.
That does not get talked about nearly enough, you know?
Yep, just swept under the rug. And I just don't understand why.
I know.
Like, truly, I don't know why.
I mean, we don't even talk about slavery correctly, you know? Yeah. Like this country absolutely fucking loves to ignore all of the, you know, big major sins that it was founded upon.
And then put up, like, statues.
Yeah.
Like, praising.
Or like, you know, lest we forget that like we're talking on Indigenous Peoples Day and like this shit was Columbus Day for years, you know, like literally celebrating a fucking colonizer. Like,
yep. And like I said, like Ashley's family literally had to take matters into their own hands and like put themselves in danger. It's just so upsetting.
And you hear this with so many people. I mean, like, you know, it goes back to the Kendrick Johnson case, too. Like, yes. You know, families that have to, like, literally become law experts.
Yeah, and even in the Kendrick Johnson case, like, you know, it was sending his poor mother down all these rabbit holes and, like, causing, like, you know, other people to get, I don't know. I still don't know about the whole Brian Bell stuff. But, like, he did lose his chance to, like, go to school, you know? And if it turns out it's not him, it's, like, police should have done a better job so that...
Their baseline due diligence, just, yeah.
Yeah, done their job. Not a better job. Done their job. I'm going to end here, too. At the United States Senate, Kimberly said to the committee as well, I am asking you to recognize that Indigenous women matter, and the way our missing and murdered women cases are handled needs to be corrected. We will no longer be invisible in the United States of America.
Correct.
I got chills. Anyone with information on Ashley's whereabouts should call the Salt Lake City FBI at 810-579-1400 or 800-CALL-FBI. or you can go to tips.fbi.gov, and this will be listed in the show notes. And also in the show notes is a petition you can sign to demand justice for Ashley. And that is today's episode.
Awesome.
A lot of technical difficulties today.
Hey, absolutely, truly zany, silly episode.
I am, like, so tired. I can't even function. Beans is
on one.
So wired, he's making it hard for us to function, too.
He's just mad that we weren't here for a part of the weekend.
Yeah, he's probably really pissed. Anyway, buy some merch.
Buy that merch.
Please.
Jake Paul style.
It's like the perfect time to actually like wear it because it's spooky season. I know there will be a sale at the end of the month. So keep an eye on my Instagram at Spooky Show Pod for that. Also, there's a giveaway coming soon too. So follow the Instagram to be a part of it.
Correct.
Rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Listen to Harrison's band, Baseball Hat, on Spotify.
Yes.
And I think that's it, right?
I think so. Oh, wait. Don't you have something to tell everybody that they got to do? Have the best.
There is one more thing I need you to do for me. And have the best week of your entire life. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Ever. Thank you.